I'd ask you to continue to pray now for a preaching service this morning. I'd like to go to Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 10, the latter part of that chapter. In this chapter 10, in fact, that whole chapter covers an event that I preached on before, and I'm going to go beyond that and cover some other points in this as a result of this scenario. But Peter Apostle Peter was taught a great lesson in preaching to the Gentiles, and he was sent in the 12th verse of the 11th chapter, he says, as he's telling what has taken place to those who were critical of his doing this, he says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting." So God guided him. He showed him a vision there in that 10th chapter. And then he went and preached to in the home of a Gentile, Cornelius, and this was a huge change for him to do that, him personally, really, as we know the Apostle Peter and all. But at the end, toward the end of this chapter 10, as he is preaching here, 44th verse says, "While Peter yet spake these words." So he's preaching a sermon, and let me read this whole sentence here. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." Word, the last word in that sentence there in verse 44, is more of a subject. It is preaching. It's the preached word there. But it says, "While Peter yet spake these words." It's certainly still the spoken word. He's preaching this, and yet right in the middle of these words, he's preaching a sermon, that's when the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all them which heard the word. So all of them there, however many there were in the house of Cornelius, both Jews and Gentiles, the Holy Ghost fell on them. It came upon them. I think about the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, which was about 8 years prior to this. About that much later than that occurrence, but the Holy Ghost coming, filling that room and so forth. But all of them which heard the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So they were blessed in that. And so I see this too as well. The Holy Ghost came upon in the middle of his words, his sentences. He didn't determine that. I guess there's no time where I would want to turn off the spigot, the faucet of the Holy Ghost flowing and coming upon us, but there's certainly been times where I wish that I could turn it on. But we can't force that. The Spirit of God blesses us, and the Comforter comes upon us when God so chooses, the Comforter being God. And so right in the middle of Peter's words, he didn't choose the time, but the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. It says in the 45th verse, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished." So the Jews, those that were of the circumcision, they called Gentiles the uncircumcised, looked upon them they were a different nation. And so I'd like to talk about some of this of God bringing in the Gentile nation into the family of God. We certainly should think, well, how does that apply to me? We would not be there in the family of God were it not for the fact that God did this. In this we see that also in this picture here is that there were witnesses to this. I think about, and I've mentioned this, where God could have sent Jesus Christ to save his people from their sins, washed them in the blood of, and he could have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, us never being aware of that. And that could have happened. But yet he showed us that. There were witnesses. There were witnesses in the resurrection. So I believe God's been merciful in that. In this case, Peter could have gone and preached the word to the Gentiles, but there was a need to have these witnesses there to see that for the church itself. At that time, in that time frame. That word they in the 45th verse, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished at this scene here. That they, if we look at the 23rd verse of this same chapter, says that then called he them in and lodged them, these people that came to request his presence for Cornelius, on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So he brought some with him. We see in the, and this is, the, to me at least, it may be trivial to some, but to me, I love it when we see all of the facts laid out here so clearly in the 12th verse of the 11th chapter, right here on the same opening of my Bible. The Spirit bade me go where I was before. The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. And we entered into the man's house. So there's a half a dozen Jews that went with him to witness this. The Jews, as you know, took issue with preaching to the Gentiles, going into their house. And if you remember, I'm sorry for going back and forth, but this is coming to my mind. In the 26th verse, Peter, when Cornelius bowed down to him, Peter's reaction wasn't to allow him to do that, as we see in some of the stories and the movies that we watch, and also a man bowing down to a man. It says Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up! I myself also am a man." He's just a man, but he was telling Cornelius, "You're a man as well." That was new to them. They treated them as dogs, Gentiles. The uncircumcised. So he took these six brethren with him to witness this and to see this. And I think that's a very important point. We see the providence of God in this. They of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's that word also. He said, "I also am a man." So also the Holy Ghost is poured out. The gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them as it was on the Jews. And so they saw this. I believe even in that, there's multiple places I believe I have in Scripture to prove that when we and it's not the least that we can see and experience, but when we see the gift of the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Comforter upon us, that it is God approving of that which we're doing. Here we see, and they, the Jews, saw that God poured out Himself, immersed them, the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost there, the Comforter, and they saw that, and these are Gentiles, and they were astonished at this, God's blessing these people, of all people, and blessed Peter to preach to them. And they and it says, and so we go on, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So I'll stop at that sentence, the end of that sentence, that period right there. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they witnessed a change here in the Gentiles. And there was a language, we think of Greek and Hebrew, the different languages. And we know that some that were blessed to speak in the known tongues in other places of a group of people from a nation that they didn't know that language, but they were blessed to speak in tongues, in their language, so they could hear there. And so these Jews are witnessing this because, and I don't intend to get on into chapter 11, at least at this point, but Peter had to go back and answer for what he had done there. Pharisees, the Sanhedrin and so forth, question his actions there. I've been blessed, I believe, in the last several years to go and preach at, they were Primitive Baptist churches, but what we would call different factions. I preached at a progressive Primitive Baptist church in Wichita Falls at some point. They were without a pastor, and I prayed, and I hope that I can say, as the 12th verse says in the 11th chapter, the Spirit bade me go with them, go among them. To preach to them. And that's the one time I did that. Now, at this point, nothing for what I did many years ago, but right at this point, I'm told that what's called the Old Line Church there in Wichita Falls is actually meeting in the church building of that progressive church. They're still without a pastor and all, and they're meeting together. They have not joined together officially and so forth. But God is working in that. And so Peter certainly went and preached among a people that had not been preached to before. They weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to even acknowledge them. They were the uncircumcised. But he was the apostle Peter, even though he said to God, not so, Lord, that he wouldn't eat of anything unclean that had not been clean. And God was teaching him something there, not about food itself, but about a people, a nation of the Gentiles. In that 10th chapter, earlier in this 10th chapter. So they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They saw them magnify God there. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So again, they received the Holy Ghost as the Jews had, Peter's saying. So can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now, whether or not at the point, if we go back up to the 44th verse there, where while Peter yet spake these words, in the middle of his sentence, if at that point God chose to immerse souls and spirits of these Gentiles here with the Holy Ghost and apply the work that Jesus Christ, his Son, had completed on the cross right in the middle of Peter's sermon, that could have happened. We don't know at what point, if they were born again, regenerated a week before this point, or this point, or in the mother, in their mother's womb, or right in the middle of his sermon. But his sermon was interrupted by God Almighty, by the Holy Ghost. God chose the time to do that. And if we go the other route, and they were simply converted, they believed, they heard the gospel and believed because they had already previously been born of God, then that's the case. Then they were converted, then the Holy Ghost, gift of the Holy Ghost came upon them then. Certainly blessed in this meeting. I don't know how large the house of Cornelius was, how many people were in there, but I know that he was fully expecting the Apostle Peter to come, and he gathered together his family, his kinsmen, to hear what Peter might say. He didn't know. And now what was the Apostle Peter preaching? What was where it says that all them that which heard the word? What was the subject? What was the sermon here? We can see down here in earlier in this chapter, 39th verse, talking about Jesus Christ. And we are witnesses of all things, the 39th verse, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He's preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified is what Peter is preaching here. That's what we're to preach. There's times when we preach a sermon and we don't mention the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but everything ties back to that. If these people here that heard this sermon and believed were born again at this time, then they were blessed by the regeneration, by the application of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, then at that time, whenever that was, we're not to judge that. We don't have to. If they're in God's elect, then they will be washed in the blood of Christ through the Holy Ghost. And at this point, they believed and heard and believed. And we can prove that they're children of God. We go over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And to me, just one of the takeaways that I see in that first phrase in this sentence here is that the Apostle Paul, that if Christ sent him not to baptize, then any man, he said, Peter says, "Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized?" If that saved us eternally, then I just don't believe Paul would have said that God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel here. And yet, it does not. We're not taught that the preaching of the gospel also saves eternally. Whatever sermon that Peter preached here, whatever words may not have even been documented in this 10th chapter of Acts, then that message touched someone there. It saved someone here in time to realize they were shown by God that Jesus Christ was the one that saved them from their sins because he preached that here. And then I think of the differences pops into my mind of the congregation at this point versus the day of Pentecost. Those that he said, you with wicked hands have taken and crucified, the ones that were there that crucified Jesus Christ. Let me finish my thought over here. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So not with wisdom of words. All those words, if we go back over to Peter, those words that he spoke, we don't hang on every definition and thanks be to God, pronunciations of names and so forth. It's the lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I think back on the sermons that I was a witness to, that I heard, some many years ago, some in recent days, where it just simply just went over my head. The words that were spoken by the minister, they did me personally no good because I didn't understand that. If the congregation doesn't understand what we're talking about here, and today I'm telling you that being Gentiles, you've been brought into the family of God Almighty by Jesus Christ. Eternally, you're there. None effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Already saved. So those that Peter is preaching to in the house of Cornelius, they're already saved because they're hearing this. They believed because they have the evidence already implanted within them by the Holy Ghost. They have the evidence to believe. But now they're hearing the wording, the words that Peter is preaching, and it's all making sense to them. Or some of it is. What they're given the message that they need to hear by God. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Going back to this, to the end of this 10th chapter of Acts, if they are not children of God, and not only that, but born again, already being regenerated, if they're not, then this would be foolishness. I don't know if they would have gotten up and just walked out, or if they would be mocking him, or what they would do, or questioning him, heckling him. But they heard this. They believed what was being preached here. And then comes the water baptism here. These people, the Gentiles, have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let me get a verse out of Acts, the second chapter, the 39th verse, second chapter of Acts. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So whatever number, this innumerable host that God has chosen and Jesus Christ saved and have been or will be regenerated by the Holy Ghost, then even those that are afar off, the Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now I'm going to go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis chapter 12. When the beginning of that chapter, when the Lord told Abram to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, second verse says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. This is talking about Israel, the Hebrew people. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Even the Gentiles, those that are afar off, the Gentiles will be blessed. Abram departed. He followed God's commandment there. So we see this mentioned in as early as the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now, back in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter of that book. John chapter 10, Jesus Christ speaking in the 16th verse. And other sheep, well, he says in the 15th verse, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He tells us right there, who did Christ die for? He died for the sheep, all those that are the chosen, the elect family of God. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring in, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, Jesus Christ. He's going to bring all in that, and there will be none lost in those that are chosen by God. I want to get, as I try to wrap this up, I want to go to the 8th chapter of Matthew and get one scene here. I'm sure you're familiar with this. But the 8th chapter of Matthew, we've talked about Jews and Gentiles, Abram, the family of Abraham, the Gentiles being brought in, and now the Apostle Peter is preaching to Gentiles. But here in the 8th chapter of Matthew, 5th verse sets the scene up where Jesus came. There came unto him a centurion, a Roman centurion. So here's a Roman guard beseeching him. and saying that his servant, my servant, lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. At this point, now there have been witnesses of Jesus healing the physically sick, those he's raised from the dead, people from the dead, and all. But yet, if this Roman centurion thought that that was all foolishness and everything that Jesus stood for was foolishness, then he would not have come asking him of this, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies sick at home, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Cornelius wasn't worthy. He saw a vision to call for the Apostle Peter to come and preach to them, to him and to his household, his kinsmen. This centurion, he says he's not worthy of this. That shows the Holy Ghost is upon this man here. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He had enough faith. He had the measure of faith that he knew if Christ just spoke the word, that servant would be healed. You don't even have to come into my house bring yourself low in this low state to step foot into my house, a Roman. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. 10th verse says, I'll skip the 9th verse. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Not even in Israel, among the Jewish people, had he seen the faith that he sees in this Roman here. And we know what the Romans were capable of and committed. Just alone, of all the thousands of crucifixions that took place, apart from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the torture and the wickedness them and many they're in their form of I think of the thieves hanging beside Jesus that deserved the punishment that were given them but I think of the Romans in that respect and then what they did to Jesus and the body of Jesus there to where the scripture was fulfilled that his visage was marred more than any man, beaten, scourged, and so forth. But here's one where Jesus said, not in Israel have I found so great faith. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, we'll wrap this up here. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So he was healed, and he just told him to go his way. Jesus was condemned by the Pharisees and by the Sanhedrin and all for being among sinners and all. But those were the ones that Christ came to save, and I think about the ones that were committing these sins and mocking Jesus, and which ones of those were children of God? I don't know. We're not told this. However many people that yelled out, crucify him about Jesus and let Barabbas go, a murderer. But whoever said that, which ones of those that hollered that out were children of God that Jesus would go to the cross and save them from their sins? That's what this comes down to, this granularity of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because I've committed the same sins that they did. I can't say, well, I've never said crucify him. I've never taken a whip or a scourge and beaten and whipped my Redeemer's back and tortured him and all. No, but I've committed sins against an almighty God that have been put away for eternity. Forever. And so now I have the evidence, and I believe that one day I'll see and understand that, the depth of that love. Now, in closing, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The Gentiles. This is about us being brought in. Certainly we should, when we read Scripture, when we hear the Word preached, and we're listening to the words and trying to hang on to that, and sometimes it's a battle, I know that. But certainly we look to see, is God glorified in that? Does it give Him the praise, honor, and glory, or does it give it to man? And if we ask, and sometimes I think selfishly of myself, oh, how does this affect me? What does this have to do with me? This has told us that we've been brought into that family, and that you all will be in heaven. You will know, as also you're known in heaven. We will see the loved ones who have already been called home, and we will see our Savior Jesus Christ in His glorified body there, and bow down to Him there, and live with Him in all eternity, and feel in perfection the love that He had for a people, even the Gentiles being afar off, will be there in that. May God bless and keep. We'll sing a song and open doors to the church.